Well, they've tripped my trigger, and now it's the news, according to me. Yeah, they've tripped the old trigger. Why did I start this show this morning without having a drink in my hand? I have to have something, not alcoholic, of course, but I'm not drinking this hour of the morning. It's currently Monday at 6:47 a.m. Well, I should take that back. It's 7:47 a.m. Eastern time. No, I take that back too. What time is it? Yeah. It's 6:47 Eastern time. I'm in the Central time zone. Apparently my computer doesn't just latch on to whatever time zone I'm in. And of course you can't, I'm sure my sound is terrible right now because I'm actually just using my computer's microphone. So you don't get that rich sound that you normally get. I'm sure you're getting all kinds of background noise and weird room noise, kind of bouncy around stuff. But hey, you know, you get what you pay for. That's all I've got to say about that. And if you didn't pay your bill, did you, your subscription, by the way, everybody here on the News According to Me, if you're a member of the News According to Me and you've subscribed to us, you are a premium member. You get the premium. You're the premium guy, gal, whatever you are. Out there, you have the. By the way, there's only two choices in that. I don't know what you feel like, but that's a whole other story. So, So they've tripped this trigger. By the way, I'm drinking sweet tea, iced tea, this morning, because I'm in a hotel, again. And I will be again tonight, and tomorrow. And the next day. Wait, do I go home the next day? I don't know what's going to happen that day. I never know from day to day. I've got these heebie-jeebies, remnants of the 1970s coming back. A couple things I want to talk about this morning. It's going to be a relatively short show this morning because I got a lot to do before I get out of here. A lot of tea to drink between now and then. So the interesting thing of this is that the trigger, I noticed this, I remember this back from the 70s. There was one thing that was a shortage. And because of that shortage, there was a snowball effect. There was a chain reaction, so to speak. And now there's always going to be, especially through a time like this COVID thing, there's always going to be spikes in prices on certain things that aren't available at certain times or whatever happens. That's kind of a normal thing. And that's not unusual. Those spikes usually happen, and then they recover. Things come back. It's just a temporary type thing. But that's not what's that when something goes up and then stays up, or the scarcity of that basic good, that item, that wear, depending what part of the world you live in, goods and services. The service industry is a little different. Here's what's happening. We've got a twofold thing happening at the same time, and on top of that, we have things compounded by other things going on. So there you go. That's the show, and I've explained everything completely thoroughly and simply for you to understand. Well, we have something called the lumber shortage right now. And lumber prices have gone through the roof. And there doesn't seem to be an end to this. They are up there and they are sustained. And I don't know, there's a lot of speculation on this as to whether or not it's real or if it's being artificially hyped up. Either way, I mean, regardless of whether it's being artificially propped up, or if it's the prices, or if it's being actually an issue of a shortage of some sort. Either way, the driving of the price up is going to be a major factor in the future here, in the near future. And the only real reason it's going to be a major factor is because of the printing of all the money, all this government spending. You know, we got trillions of dollars being printed out from nowhere, and they're going to have to pay for those things because of the way our money system works. We will pay for this stuff in taxes and or inflation. Inflation is a tax, by the way. Most people don't understand how that works, but basically, when you have money setting aside, you know, they don't have to tax you on your wealth because that's inflation is that tax. They grow the government, they grow the spending, they line their pockets, and you end up with less money in yours. Even if you could put $100,000 in the bank today, let it sit there, and if it's not, you know, if it's gaining, you know, 0.03 interest, just sitting there, and you're not investing and not doing anything with it, let's say there's a house for $100,000, or there's, you know, products or goods that you could purchase for $100,000, and you don't buy those things. And then you just let that money sit there. Or let's say you want to buy gold or silver. I guess it's like gold because silver never goes up because they artificially screw with the price on that. So let's say we talk about gold here. And if you, gold is a finite, so to speak, mineral. I guess I'll call it a mineral. Metal. Basic. It's not a product, really. It's a resource, and it has an intrinsic value that in and of itself, it'll never be worth nothing unless you're, you know. I mean, to some people, it might be worth nothing. If you're a man in the sea that, you know, you're bobbing out there in the sea and you need to be rescued, if I throw you a 10-pound block of gold, you're probably not going to hold on to it very long. It's not worth it. You're going to go to the bottom of the sea with it. So that's, you know, there you go. So it just depends on your situation. But but typically, in general, gold is worth something all the time. Now, in the midst of that, if you put your $100,000 away in the bank and 2 years later, you want to go, you know, you say you had $100,000 worth of gold and you traded that off for cash, $100,000 in cash. And you hold on to that $100,000, and then you go back to buy that gold 2 years later. Guess what? You're not going to get as much gold because the price of gold has probably gone up, and your value of cash has probably gone down. Probably, in most situations. Certainly, within a 10-year period, you're probably not going to find a dip long enough in the value of gold enough to buy that gold back. So, because that's in a sense, it's a tax, so to speak. Now, you can put your money into a home, depending on where you live in the country. Say you invest in land with a home on it, and you buy a $100,000 home. And then you go to sell it, and say 2 years later, you go to sell it, and it's $110,000. Well, that's worth something. They got to pay, probably have to pay capital gains. Some states have to pay, some situations have to pay capital gains on that, depending on what you do with the money. And then, so you pay your capital gains tax on that. And in the meantime, you've probably been paying property tax on that, let alone the maintenance and upkeep and all the other things you have to do to, you know, keep the county or the city happy about your, you don't have to mow your lawn or they'll fine you for that kind of thing. And so you walk away with that $100,000 investment. Of course, now you've had a place to live, maybe, if that's where you live, for 2 years or for a year or whatever. As the property value went up, well, the property value has to go up because you've got more money in it now. and the dollars are worth less. So now when you go to sell it, you sell it for $110,000 and you get taxed if you don't put the money into something. So so you can own gold, and gold does not, you know, get taxed for that yet. Now they're talking about doing that in California. If you have a net value of a certain amount of money, they're talking about taxing you if you have wealth over $1 million or whatever it is. They're going to tax you. They're going to fine you. They're going to penalize you for that, for having so much money. And so what you'll do is you'll leave that state until all the other states start doing the same thing. They get all the rich people are going to, you know, gather in one particular place, one particular state, and then they'll, you know, that's, states typically will follow suit with other states sometimes, depending on what they're looking for. And it happens. There are still some states that don't have property tax. There are some states that don't have income tax. State income tax. You still have to pay federal income tax. So there's that option. You can move to those states. Now there's, you know, unfortunately some states don't have good other laws that you might, you know, they might not have good gun laws or other particular laws or whatever. And then of course you got to look at school systems. If you have kids in the school, all those kinds of things are placed. You know, where do you want to raise your family? You know, what kind of situation do you want to be in? Cost of living, you know, being one of those factors. Well, in the midst of all this, we have a strange trigger here, in my opinion. They're already talking about shortages of meat, different kinds of meat, processed meat, all kinds of things. They are talking about fuel prices going up, possibly doubling. The electric grid is possibly going to be not. This is after, you know, they're talking about spending all this money on infrastructure and all these other things that they're going to spend money on, and somehow, you know, prices are going to go up. Now, in the midst of all this, at the same time, you have a service industry issue because we're paying people to stay home. I spend a lot of time out on the road, and they just, you know, like Steak and Shake, supposed to be open 24/7. Open from sunrise to sunrise. Well, they're not. The particular one in this particular area is closed 2 days a week because they can't find help. They don't have help. This is the service industry, especially the restaurants, who have already taken a, you know, kick in the pants in the last year and a half anyway, because of all the stuff having to shut down, all the things that they had to comply with, and now they have a shortage of people working because they make more money sitting at home. Or they don't make as much sitting at home, but they make enough to not have to go into work. I'm not going to go into work if I'm going to make, you know, 70% or 80% of what I did make. I can get by on that. I don't have to have a car to go back and forth to work. I don't have to spend time away from my family. It's, you know, they're just going to stay home. This is trying to give people a taste of universal basic income, which is extremely, it feels good at first. It's great. It seems like it's, you know, this is a wonderful thing. Government's going to, you know, we got this huge, everybody's in the safety net. Well, not everybody will be in the safety net. We've already seen some evidence that that reparations are in place. There's the farmer bill. We're going to help farmers. They're going to see to it that the farmers of color, farmers of Asian farmers and other farmers are taken care of with this farmer's bill. If you are not a person of color, this, you know, we've gone from being a protected class to being a privileged class. I know this is going to really make some people's heads pop off, because when you talk about privilege, it's always white privilege. This is not equal rights. This is special rights. And we are taxing people with the idea that we're somehow going to advantage some other people. And I, you know, I've got no problem with aid being available to industries that have been hurt because the government told them to shut down. I have a problem with the government telling people to shut down, but other than that, But then, you know, in the process of doing this, they'll say, well, this is the farmer bill. This is the farmer bill. We're going to spend, you know, a couple $1 billion helping out farmers. And then it's a $2 trillion bill, but we're only going to spend a couple $1 billion or a few hundred, you know, maybe $10 billion, whatever, $100 billion to help farmers out. And the farmers are going to, you know, yeah, we need this. And everybody loves the farmer. So they're going to, you know, yeah, we need farmers if they grow our food. Well, in some cities, they don't realize that you do that. I've got news for you. They just think it shows up on a truck, comes in, you know, from somewhere, or that just shows up in the store. They don't know that somebody grows that stuff. It just comes out of a machine somewhere. So we have this issue of all those things happening. Now, the shortages in the food industry, which none of these shortages to me make sense. It's questionable. Now, I know that if you're paying people to stay home, if they're having a hard time finding workers, if it's, you know, if there's this caboose effect where, you know, we have the cycles of the chain, the normal supply chain was broken about a year ago. And the supply chain, if you look at the way things fit together and work in an economy that works, it's a very delicate balance of things. You can't just pull one thing out of the chain and think that it's not going to affect everything else. And we talk about this in the ecosystem. There is kind of an ecosystem in supply chains and in the economy, in the economic situation, where if you kill off a particular part of the economy and you shut it down, so to speak, there's ramifications for that in other things. And so there, you have to, and even some of the most brilliant economists, just they'll basically admit to you that they can't figure that out. It is really difficult to do that, and it's because you don't know how one thing's going to affect another. Just like this whole COVID thing, you would have thought that the RV industry and the boating industry, marine, everything affects the marine industry and the boat and the RV industry. It's just anything bad happens. Usually, they take a beating. Typically, well, the RV industry and the boating industry are thriving in the middle of this. They have orders out through the end of the year, into next year. They can't keep up. Now, whether or not that'll continue or not, I don't know. I think when the economy finally does its thing and we have these issues, and this is. Listen to Steven Crowder the other day, and this was an issue that he brought up, and I've been bringing it up ever since this whole thing, since they started throwing money at everything. I wrote my congressman and my senator, and I told them we can't just throw money at people who don't need it. We're just, you know, we got this relief package thing that they were throwing out there, and the whole idea was that we were going to just get money out there. Just get checks in people's hands, get a stimulus bill, a package out there. There are some people in the midst of this who have done better than normal. 2020 for them was a year that they were very busy. And in 2019, they didn't do so well. Now, there's the other direction is also an issue. There's people who did really well in 2019 and got devastated in 2020. But they're basing the stimulus checks based on what people made, how they did in 2019. And they're sending checks to almost everyone based on their income. And it's some people didn't, their income didn't change, but they're getting the stimulus check. Some people, their income went up and they're still getting a stimulus check because they didn't go over the cap. And it makes, and there are some people who made $250,000 in 2019 and maybe paid off their home or did something else or paid down on things, and they were, because they didn't see this coming. And all of a sudden in 2020, they're devastated. They lost their job, lost their business, whatever it was that happened. Because they, you know, so now they're out and you don't get stimulus because you made too much money in 2019. Those are people who are falling through the cracks, and there's a, some pretty big cracks in this whole problem, because they're just throwing money at stuff. And then there's the prejudice with which they're throwing money at things. And they're spending way more money than what they're giving back. So this whole process is a disaster waiting to happen. And they're just, you know, governments trying to fix something that they have no power to fix. If they just stayed out of the way, we'd fix it. You know, the American people will fix things themselves, for the most part. There are those individuals who are out there who, because of their schooling, maybe, they just don't, they just, you know, they're not going to get it. So, in the midst of this, this is the issue, that we are running headlong into a serious, in my opinion, very serious economic situation. And I don't know what, you know, I don't know what the answer is. I'm basically just saying, hunker down, be ready, be careful with your investments, make sure that you have supplies and all those things that you need for the next couple of years, because just prepare. Now put your money in places where it's, you know, where you think it's safe and that kind of thing, and not, you know, I'm not telling you to pull out the stock market. I'm not telling you to, you know, change your 401k. I'm not telling you, just, you know, be wise and try to seek some good counsel. I'm not going to give you counsel because I'm not a financial guy. I just, you know, I'm just saying what I think is going to happen with the economy. I'm just a guy with a microphone. And this morning, I don't even have a microphone. There's apparently a microphone on this computer, and that's all you're getting. So I'm not going to take the time to set up my microphone because I have very little time. I have a short night. So anyway, that's about all I got to say about that. And the only other thing I want to discuss this morning is this the issue of Joe Biden. It's becoming more and more evident from people around him and even other people from other countries. I've been listening to some of the news, like Sky News Australia, some of the other pundits out there that are observing things that weren't quite as obvious, I think, during the campaign. I don't think people paid attention to during the campaign in foreign countries and other countries, which they are paying attention to now. They're realizing because Biden is more on the international stage now. They're trying to keep him off the stage and let Kamala do more things. But Kamala, yeah, whatever her name is. It's becoming a clown show. And people are noticing that that Joe is, his cognitive ability and his ability to read a teleprompter now is becoming confused. And that's a problem. Because when people start noticing that in other countries, people start noticing it more, and the pundits start noticing, and they start to keep him away from the press. Even Circleback Psaki the other day admitted that they try to keep him from taking questions from the press. You know, but he's going to do it. He's the president. He'll do what he's going to do. Well, yeah, that's their problem. They can't rein him in all the time. Now, with regard to that, he's not really running the show, and we know that. We know that there's people behind the scenes running the show. I keep hearing people say, well, you know, Joe is going to be president for the next 4 years. We just need to get over that and, you know, possibly even longer into another term if the Republicans don't, you know, step up. No, Joe is not going to make it to 4 years. I don't know. I don't know whose reality you're living in. Joe's not making it 4 years. There's no way. We're looking at a guy who has been in office for about 4 months, right? And not even 4 months. And I don't know how people can say that, you know, there's going to be a 48 months. You know, he's got 44 more months left. No, is he even 10% there yet? And the toll that most presidents take because of the stress of the job. Now, maybe Joe's, you know, that's one thing about people who have a lot of, you know, dementia issues. I'm not saying he has dementia. I'm just saying it seems to. And sometimes they're less stressed because they don't, they wake up, they don't have any stress from day to day. Just have no stress because they don't think about stuff. They don't worry about anything. Some of them worry about everything. It just depends on what kind of issues they've got. So it's going to be real interesting to see the toll that this job takes on him in the next short while. And my guess is that it's going to, by the end of this year, I would be shocked and amazed if we're not talking about Joe stepping down by the first of next year. They might try to get him through Christmas. They probably would like to see him at least go through the election cycle of next year. They're in a sticky wicket here because the way things are going, it looks like if all things are normal and we have a normal election, especially with some of these election laws they're putting in place, it's very possible that the Republicans may take back the House in 2022. It's possible. They still have a lot of time to fix that, to rig that, I should say. And I do not put it past them to do something. I think partially they would like to see the masks stay on, the social distancing continue, and all the other things so that, they keep things shut down as much as they can until the election of next year in November of 2022. That's over a year away, folks. Now, there are a lot of states that are lifting restrictions. Some of them are opening back up again. The county that I'm in right now, I just heard last night that the county that I'm in right here will lift all restrictions. All COVID restrictions will be released. In other words, no mask mandates. Private businesses still want to do that. That's up to them. The county's not requiring it. So we're very close to that here in this county. There are some states that are, pretty much wide open, no masks, and it's ridiculous. I'm not saying that's ridiculous. I think that's probably what I'm not a mask guy. I'll just put it that way. I do believe that personal private businesses have the right to do that. I have the right to not go to their business. So that's the way that works. And I'll throw one on if I got something I got to get. A big deal. Throw the thing on, whatever. But I do believe that there are other health risks involved in wearing a mask that for the way we do it in normal daily life. Doing something in a hospital controlled environment, whatever, that's a very different story than this whole thing. The way people are wearing them, playing with them, throwing them on the floor. I think we have other issues here with this mask thing that are causing problems. But I digress. Speaking of COVID, some other issues now that have come up is the pipeline. Speaking of COVID, it has nothing to do with COVID. This pipeline thing. Real interesting that the pipeline, some kind of gas line, it's being called a gasoline line. I don't know that we don't run gasoline through pipes up through the coast, do we? I don't think. Maybe we do. I know some places they do. I know there's a big explosion down in Mexico at one point where they were piping gasoline through a pipe somewhere, and that gasoline, there was a rupture of some sort, and it started spraying gasoline all over this one town. Almost the whole town basically blew up, caught on fire. I know they do it with natural gas. That's all over the place. Those pipelines run everywhere. However, I don't know that there's a major pipeline with gasoline running through it. However, that's what they're making it sound like. So maybe it does, and maybe there's enough. Maybe they do it. I don't know what's going on with that. I've looked into it more. I haven't really heard that much about it. All I know is that there was a malware attack of some sort on this company that controls this pipeline, and they shut it down out of precaution. And it's been, I don't know if they shut it down. And who knows? And I don't know if it's still shut down. I think as of this morning, I was still hearing that they were talking about the attack. But I don't know that it's over. Now, the other thing was that the sky was falling over the weekend. I don't know if any of you heard about that. I guess the Chinese, like they haven't done enough to the world. Their spacecraft of some sort fell back to Earth. I guess fell into someplace in the Indian Ocean or someplace, I don't know, someplace over there. So it wasn't a problem. I guess that happened on Sunday or Saturday night or Sunday morning, something like somewhere in there. It came down and most of it burned up and some of it fell down. So there you go. So the sky stopped falling, I guess, at this point. So you're safe again. Just keep your umbrella, keep your mask on, and you're going to be fine. So this brings me to my final point. And the final point is I don't have another point. I can't think of anything right now that I really want to talk about. And I still have a couple more minutes on this show. So I'm not sure what I'm going to fill it with other than I probably could just chatter on and just keep on talking. But I do have things to do today. Once again, I just want to say that the basics of our economy are at risk. Our leadership is, again, I will say, feckless. My concern is that the Republicans will, the establishment will somehow sneak back in and take over. Now, there's been a lot of effort on Trump's part to keep out and to primary a lot of these swamp creatures. And I think that's going to work. I think we're seeing some progress there. Whether or not there's going to be enough progress as we get into the election season and to see if whether these people actually, don't make it or not. See if we can successfully get some of these people primaried out. And of course, the left all of a sudden is Liz Cheney's friend. Liz Cheney. Oh my goodness, they're going after Liz Cheney. Oh, the GOP is terrible. Because they're going after Liz Cheney. Well, if truth be known, technically, typically, just like they did with John McCain, if Liz Cheney ever ran for president, she'd be the worst person in the world. All of a sudden, they'd, lambaste her, saying how terrible a person she is. But in the meantime, right now, because the GOP is after her, they're saying, oh, well, she doesn't toe the party line. She doesn't like Trump. So therefore she's out. And Mitt Romney, by the way, I think there's a county, I believe, in Utah that has censured him, whatever that means. Oh, you're being censured. Okay. What does that mean? What does that do to you? Does that mean that everything you say is, we don't pay attention to it? I don't know what it means. So I'm going to censure myself here this morning, and whatever that means, let the censuring begin. I'm going to be heading out here in a little bit. So have a great day, folks. Good Monday morning to you, top of the week here, and I'm sure that God has a great thing for us in store. Hit it.